applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, it sounds like an unreasonable approach, but to be able to properly answer that, I need to discuss it with our consultants, obviously, but it sounds like a very reasonable approach to do that. And we would definitely be inclined to definitely do the appropriate monitoring to ensure that we're checking to make sure that that limit would not be causing degradation in the environment.
Thank you. Environment Canada.
Glenn Grosskopf, Environment Canada. My question related to the waste rock handling and segregation. It's obviously key in your proposal for handling the waste with the problematic rock being covered by the more benign material. Can you describe how you're going to segregate that rock?
Thank you. Applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The methodology would start right from the drilling of the blast patterns. We would collect samples of the drill cuttings. Those would be then taken on site to a laboratory on site, analyzed for total sulfur. We, prior to that, will have developed a curve between total sulfur and our acid-base accounting results so that we can go down and make the relationship which, based on that sulfur, whether this rock is likely to be acid-generating or not. That would then allow the project engineers to actually establish the dig limits within the blasted area. They actually go out and they put flags to differentiate where these areas are. And as then the shovels come in to start excavating that rock, they assign the good rock to go to one spot in the pile, and the rock that's been flagged as being potentially bad rock to go to another spot in the pile. So we basically create cells within the waste rock dump where this PAG rock is placed. And the cells will change over time, but that cell is then what becomes embedded within the dump.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any more questions from Environment Canada?
Here, it's Ann Wilson again. I almost missed my last question. This is to do with the end of pipe discharge standards proposed from the land farm. The oil and grease standard of 15 milligrams per liter just caught my eye. I hadn't seen that before. I'm just wondering what would the receiving environment be? Would that be an overland or a water receiving environment, and where? Thanks.
Thank you. Applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That standard that we took actually came
before,
out of
the Before you speak, can you repeat your mention your name first to the audience?
Sorry. Larry Connell. Mr. Chairman, that standard we had put there actually came out of an existing water board license, one that was just recently issued for the Meadowbank Regional Exploration. And so we're looking at a generic standard that would allow us to do that. For here at the marshalling facility here, we would land apply the water from a water from an oil water separator. At the mine site itself, we had anticipated that that water would be directed into the stormwater management pond and go through the system that way so that we contain it because we have proximity. But there will be other areas where we have a fuel tank that, depending on its proximity and the ability to pump it, may be a land applied rather than handled through the attenuation or reclaim pond.
Thank you. Any more questions about Canada? Anne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's Anne Wilson. That's all our questions. Thanks.
Thank you. The next department would be DFO, if you have a question to the applicant.
Dave Valent for Fisheries and Oceans. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for this opportunity. I have a couple of questions. DFO's concern is mostly with fish and fish habitat and the freshwater environment. And one of our major concerns is with the adequacy of monitoring. So I have a couple questions related to that. Specifically, our concerns are related to the collection of baseline data, and that will definitely be of concern to development and impacts to the aquatic environment. The company in our pre-hearing conference made a submission or a commitment to submit some baseline data, and I thought that was to be given to us to review so that we could see how that data had been collected. And I believe the date was March 31st. To my knowledge, that has not been presented, so I would like to ask if that information had been presented and where it might be in the process.
Thank you. Applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Larry Connell. The reference is to the Aquatic Effects Monitoring Plan, the data for the past 2 years, for 2006 and was it 2007?
Yeah.
Well, 2007 as well. The requirement or the commitment the company made at the pre-hearing was to submit that to the Water Board by March 31st, and those reports were submitted to the Water Board by March 31st.
Thank you. DFO.
Thank you. Another question is related to the...
Please mention your name for the record.
Dave Ballant, Fisheries. Another question is related to the Aquatic Effects Monitoring Program, and the company in its submission this morning stated that it had already submitted the Aquatic Effects Program and then asked that the Water Board set a condition that the first update be required by March 31st, 2009. My question is related to the process or the status of the Aquatic Effects Monitoring Program. So I would like to ask the question that the company please describe what they see as the process in the approvals thus far or the conditions of that program, and then what the process is in approving these types of plans in the future.
Thank you. Applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Larry Connell. I would presume that, and this is stepping over maybe our jurisdiction, we would presume that we would submit plans to the Water Board and that the Water Board would then dictate the process for approval, and that we do not have an approved plan until somebody from the Water Board tells us we have an approved plan. We may continue monitoring under what we believe, but we believe the process would be what the Water Board dictates for approvals of those plans.
Thank you. DFO.
Dave Valent, Fisheries and Oceans. There are a number of issues that were brought forward at the pre-hearing conference that I don't think were maybe resolved with the Aquatic Effects Monitoring Program. Therefore, the question I would have is the submission that was entertained before, as I believe has been presented this morning, the company would believe that that was the program that is in place, and that would be the question, is that the company's position?
Thank you. Applicant.
Well, Sorry, Mr. Chairman. Larry Connell, I'm just going to take a moment to ask that question to my expert on that field and then respond if you give me 2 seconds.
Go ahead, applicant.
Gary Mann. Mr. Chairman, we have we submitted an aquatic effects management plan to the during the NERB process, and the commitment was made to do 2 years of pre-construction monitoring. That was 2006 and 2007, and both of those reports were submitted to the Water Board on the 31st of March of this year. Thank you.
Thank you. DFO, you have any more questions?
Dave Valent, Fisheries and Oceans. I understand that data had been submitted. My question that I had just asked was the AEMP, that is one of the documents that has been presented, is that the final plan or proposal as submitted?
Thank you. Applicant.
Gary Mann. Per the presentation that Larry gave today, that AEM gave, we have committed to updating